The penultimate weekly pulse on all things green and gold. It is another edition of Weekly Wildy. That's the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wildy. I'm Alex Strofe. Two episodes left for us. We might pop up around the draft again, and then we'll hopefully be back next season as long as our bosses don't hate us. Jason Wildy, Alex Strofe with you. Gold pen in Jason Wildy's hand.
Ultimate. Penultimate.
You know, I just figured you'd be proud of my use of the word penultimate rather than trying to one-up my use of the word penultimate.
No, I'm just shocked. It's kind of like that great Bob Uecker story about Howard Cosell on Monday Night Baseball talking about how someone has been truculent. Sure. And then he says to Uecker, you probably don't know what truculent means. And then Uecker says, yeah, I know what it means If you gave me your truck and let me use it, that would be a truculent. So
he's right.
Yeah. Nice work.
Hey, thanks. Good work, Trish. All right, let's start with the big story of the week, seemingly, which is Josh Jacobs making his rounds at Radio Row down in New Orleans ahead of the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 59, coming up on Sunday between the Chiefs and the Eagles. And look, I want to cut him a little bit of slack before we dive into what his comments mean. Because when you go down as an athlete or a player in the National Football League, and you go down to this Radio Row, you're doing interview after interview after interview after interview. And I feel as if Jacobs was probably caught in a situation where he was a little bit loosened up after doing a couple of interviews, and probably took it a step too far. The quote to Chris Sims of NBC Sports was that he loves his guys, but they need a real wide receiver number one. And obviously, some of the receivers in the room, Dontayvion Wicks, Jaden Reed, etc., taking exception to what Josh Jacobs had to say about needing a number one receiver. So let's start with just what do you make of the running back's comments at Radio Row on Wednesday?
So I've been telling folks this. I mentioned it to Homer the other night. I mentioned it to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. There is a sign in the Packers facility that Matt LaFleur revealed the existence of after they lost to the Bears in the finale, talking about how they have to take a hard look at where they're at and going into the playoffs. And the sign reads, standards over feelings. Mm. Well, Josh Jacobs talked about standards, right? You have to have a number one wide receiver in this league, in his opinion. The Packers didn't necessarily think that. And he hurt some feelings by stating that opinion. Now, I think that's meant to be in-house and not at Radio Row in multiple interviews. But first of all, I think you make a good point, right? I mean, if you know, I've been to Radio Row a couple of times. I've hosted shows there once during the Super Bowl 45 week leading up to the Packers and the Steelers in Dallas. It is a buzzing hive of high-energy activity, no doubt about it. So you can get swept up in that for sure. But I think he meant what he said. He maybe shouldn't have said the quiet part out loud, but I also think this is the other thing that's influenced it. And I tried to reflect that in my story today in the State Journal, that he's also pushing for Davante Adams to come back. He played with him in Vegas for 2 years. He knows what he's about. So I think he not only thinks they need a true number one, but I think he has decided who that number one is.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
And it makes perfect sense to bring him back to Green Bay where he was and reunite him with Josh Jacobs, who is lobbying for him. So you kind of put that all together. Was it a little bit ungraceful for him to say this publicly? Yeah. Doesn't change the fact that he's right. I mean, look, you know, I think you know this already, but this was a subject with Matt LaFleur in his season wrap-up press conference, and it was a subject with Brian Gutekunst mm-hmm. in his wrap-up press conference. And, you know, I was probably leading that charge because I wanted to know how they viewed it. And, you know, I actually interrupted Matt LaFleur's crappy answer, which he admitted was I know that's probably not the answer you wanted. And I said, no, it's not. And then he continued. And then I interrupted him. I said, yeah, but Matt, you know, you had Davante Adams. You know how a true number one changes things. And that was when he got to a more direct answer of what it does to coverages and everything else. And then on the flip side, Goody, you know, I rattled off to him the lineage of, you know, we all know the quarterbacking lineage of Favre to Rodgers to Love, but the wide receiver lineage is, as of this taping, Sterling Sharp, who may be getting into the Pro Football Hall of Fame tonight, then Begat, Robert Brooks, Antonio Freeman, Donald Driver, Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, Davante Adams, Alan Lazard.
Alan Lazard, I guess, yeah.
So Davante Adams is the end of that lineage, right? 22, 23, 24, no true number one. And my point to Goody about that was, because I don't expect him to go out and sign T. Higgins to a blockbuster deal.
I don't either.
Was all of those guys that were number one receivers, homegrown, organic, right? Starting with Sharp, a first round pick in 88. So my point was that all these years, and I assume this is what Goody was counting on, someone naturally, organically developed into that guy. Romeo Dobbs hasn't become that guy. Christian Watson hasn't become that guy. Dontavian Wicks hasn't become that guy. Jaden Reed hasn't become that guy. Certainly Samori Toure and Grant Dubose have not. Those are the six wide receivers that they drafted in those two drafts because they're not with the team anymore. But Bo Melton hasn't.
Right.
And Malik Heath hasn't. So the point is that if you did this expecting someone to become him, as the kids say, no one has emerged yet. So now what the hell are you going to do?
Key word there, though. No one has emerged yet, right? And I think the benefits, which we'll get into, of bringing in a Davante Adams or a quote-unquote true number one receiver is that it buys some of those guys a little bit more time, right? Davante Adams on the backside of his prime, on the backside, you know, probably no longer ascending as a top wide receiver talent in the league, but still is a top receiver talent in the league. So if he comes in for 2 years, that gives a Christian Watson time to get healthy off the ACL and maybe develop and bloom into that, or a Romeo Dobbs or a Jaden Reed, et cetera. So I think there's benefits to adding a piece like that. The other piece of the Josh Jacobs puzzle, though, is you referenced, you know, doing the multiple interviews. With Kay Adams, he mentioned Davante Adams and also slipped in there that he only saw him drop two passes ever in practice.
Yeah.
Coming off a year where the Green Bay Packers led the league and dropped passes, you view that as a subtle shot or unrelated?
Maybe not. Maybe subconsciously. I want to go back to one thing though that you said there, which is exactly right in terms of what I just did there with that timeline of wide receivers. What happened there? Someone was there while another person was emerging to replace him, right? Like, and this is the one thing that, well, there's been a couple things over the years, but the one thing that really pissed me off with Goody was that he kept trying to tell me that one of the reasons he moved on from Jordy was because he thought it would stunt the growth of Davante Adams into the number one wide receiver. And my response to him was, did you watch the game in Dallas in 2017 when you guys win at the end of the game on a touchdown pass to Davante Adams from Rodgers, and Rodgers throws that pass the previous play, and Davante Adams comes back to the huddle and says, run it again, but throw a better blank and pass to Aaron Rodgers. You know what that is? Number one wide receiver behavior. He was already the number one in 17. He didn't need to worry about Jordy Nelson stunting his growth. But to your point, Jordy emerged as Greg Jennings fell slightly. Davante emerged as Jordy Nelson fell slightly. Donald Driver emerged as Antonio Freeman fell slightly. So had they done this and still had Davante Adams, as Davante Adams came down slightly, there would have been somebody else ready to ascend to the throne. So you're exactly right about that. Look, they dropped too many passes, right? The Philadelphia Eagles are in the Super Bowl. They dropped 7 passes all season. The Packers dropped 33.
Mm-hmm.
33! And if Jaden Reed with 10 And Dontavian Wicks with 9 are mad at Josh Jacobs for what he said. I get it, but good. You should be mad, and you should be motivated, and you should say, blank him, I love Josh, but I'm going to prove him wrong. I'm going to show that I should be the one here. And obviously, we'll see how they respond, but both of those guys posted on social media their reactions. I thought Jaden Reed's was a little weird because he kind of went after fans and then deleted it.
Yeah,
like,
that.
Your issue is with your teammates. It's your teammate that said it. Like, yeah, fans may have reacted to it, but who cares what fans think? If you're a player, you're not supposed to care. You're supposed to care. You better care about what your teammates think.
Yeah, Jaden Reed felt like the fan base turned on him, I think, by agreeing with Jacobs that Davante Adams would be a good fit at this point, which, I don't know, strange reaction, but we're all human. I'm not going to get after him too hard.
We are.
About it.
Yep. No doubt.
So we will see. You mentioned at the beginning, though, T. Higgins. You don't anticipate he's a guy that comes to Green Bay. I want to play a game with you, if that's right. I know you love games, especially
yes or no. Is it yes or no?
It is not yes or no. I want to play a percentage game. So essentially, I'm going to name a player, and I'll play too. Give me a percentage you think they're on the Packers roster in 2025. I have a list of about 5 or 6 players. Let's start with T. Higgins. Percent chance he is a Green Bay Packer in 2025?
8.
Yeah, I'm single digits as well. 5%. I think it's super unlikely they're gonna hammer home a huge deal with him. How about Davante Adams? What do you think the percentage he's a Green Bay Packer in 2025 is?
Hopefully 100. probably more like 51.
Oh. Okay, I was going to say like 35. So you are actually very much in the Packers bring back Davante camp.
I mean, if you can do it, if like, I don't know what his number is going to be. It's obviously not. And by the way, he's still property of the Jets in
right.
terms of his rights.
And that's a thing I think a lot of people are forgetting this offseason. He is not a free agent, at least yet.
Yeah, and whether or not he becomes one or needs to be acquired in a trade, you know, again, I don't know how Goody views him, but, you know, he's not going to cost as much as T. Higgins, right? He's probably going to cost more than Cooper Kupp, I would think.
Yeah.
Look, I think they need him, but I'm 1,000,000% biased. Like, he's one of my guys. Mm-hmm. He has been a little bit. We have texted a fair amount, but he doesn't want to come on the show because he doesn't want to have everything go viral. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, you're on with Kay Adams all the time, and everything you say goes viral. Like,
throw me a bone, would you?
One was, dude, you took a picture of your green and gold shoes, which, by the way, went viral. So
sure
my point is that I would love for him to be back, obviously. I do, not just for my own enjoyment of covering him and the connection I have with him and the insight and information I would get from him. But also, I do believe it's the right fit, right? He's 32. Like, he's got, you know, you bring him back for 2 years. Because let's be honest, their wide receiver position is in flux. Mm-hmm. Like, not only is there the question about when exactly will Christian Watson be back, which I would say November is your optimistic hope, mid-November. But on top of that, this Romeo Doubs concussion thing, you know, he's wearing the Guardian cap and he still gets a concussion. Matt LaFleur admitted that it's a concern and wouldn't say if they knew to any degree of certainty that it wasn't a long-term problem. Both those players are also in contract years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their position is in flux. And if you could solidify it with Davante on a 2-year deal that would not be cheap, but would not be break the banking, I think it's the right decision for them. I really do.
No, I'm with you. I think it'd be a wise move, and he seems like the right fit, right? You mentioned a guy like Cooper Kupp, who I was not going to ask you about. I'll go ahead and put that at a 0.01% chance. Cooper Kupp is a Green Bay Packer.
I'm going to put it higher than that, not much higher, but remember, Matt LaFleur coached him in L.A.
True.
And Matt LaFleur loves him. So, you know, I saw something the other day that the Rams are planning or likely to pay him his roster bonus that he's due as a golden parachute. Thank you for your service. Here's $8 million. But what that does is if you're trading for him, it goes from you picking up $20 million in pay to $12 million in pay.
I did not see this. So that would change my number a little bit because the expense was really the big part, right? You know, older, slower, and expensive is not really a Goody recipe. Older and slower still isn't, but less expensive intrigues me. So I'll bump that up to about 1%.
Okay, bold.
Yeah, very bold of me. Two names I'm really intrigued with, and these are both Packers as it stands today. Josh Myers, the center. You think he's back?
I don't.
I don't either. I'd still put it at like a 25% chance, but I think he's going to get more elsewhere.
Yeah, 17.5 for me, I think. I just think they're gonna John Runyon him. Hey, you were a good player for us. We appreciate your contributions. We're not paying you what maybe some other teams might. You know, he did play his best season.
Yep.
The only way I see him back is if he goes to market and nobody else wants him either, and he comes back on kind of a 1-year prove it deal. But I don't anticipate that at all.
I don't either. I think somebody's gonna want him. What about Jair?
2.3%.
Wow.
I mean, again, I don't like, you just said Goody doesn't like guys who are old and slow. He's neither of those things, but he's just never available. I mean, he's missed as many games as he's played in the last 4 years. And the only reason that number is as good as it is because he had the 2022 season where he played 16 or 15 games. Mm. But missed 10 games last year, missed 10 games the year before, missed like 13 games in 2021. Like that's a bad recipe. That is a problem. Yeah. And, you know, beyond that, whatever bubbles beneath the surface there's an issue there. Like, again, I wish he would have talked to me at locker cleanout day, but, you know, he kind of summed it up with his proclamation that I don't have anything good to say. What do you want to talk to me for? So that I believe his ticket is has been out of town is pretty clearly paid for.
Well, the other thing he said was, I don't even know if I'm going to be here next year, which is pretty much all he needed to say, right?
Yeah.
I don't have anything good to say, and I don't know if I'm going to be here next year. Well, I think everything you just said was about what I needed to hear. So there you go from Jair. All right, that's the percentage game. I don't want to play the percentage game with Myles Garrett because the situation continues to evolve, and it's an intriguing one. Obviously, as a Packers fan, I'd be over the freaking moon if the Packers find a way to acquire a guy like Myles Garrett. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, likely. He is the best, if not the best, a top two or three at his position in the entire NFL, and it's a position that the Packers did not see the production they had hoped for in 2024. It just doesn't seem like the Browns want to move him. Now, does that mean Garrett will hold out until they move him? We will see. Obviously, a lot of time needs to pass before we find that answer out. Do you think it's realistic that Myles Garrett gets moved from Cleveland following his trade request earlier in the week?
I don't think it's likely. I don't. I mean, you know, they were in the playoffs a year ago.
They sure were.
They obviously they are the perfect example of how desperate and stupid an organization can be when the quarterback situation for years and years and years and years and years fails, right? I mean, the idea that they gave a guy who was being sued by that many massage therapists $236 million guaranteed, and then it turns out that he's not very good and he's injured all the time. That's how you end up with stars like Myles Garrett wanting to leave.
The other part of the Watson deal, too, that I've never understood is he hadn't played for a year prior to that either, right? He
Correct.
Had been out due to what you just mentioned. So that part's never made sense to me either. Anyway, continue.
It's desperation. I mean, that's all it is. And so, you know, I don't know what Myles Garrett's game plan is, but he's going to have a hard time. He is. He's going to have a hard time. They do not want to move on from him. But everyone has a price. And if Andrew Berry gets two firsts And Rashawn Gary, he'll probably do it, but I don't see that probably occurring.
I do not either. Be fun, though. Be fun. One can hope.
I want Trey Hendrickson.
Now, he made the rounds on Radio Row. Obviously, the Cincinnati Bengals defensive end, who I believe led the league in sacks last year.
He did.
Requesting a trade or requesting a new contract. It was the old ultimatum, right? Marry me or we got to break up, Trey Hendrickson says to the Cincinnati Bengals. New contract.
Did you ever get one of those?
No comment. And so is Trey Hendrickson a realistic option for the Packers? Way to derail that one, pal.
Hey, I'm not the one who used the analogy.
Trey Hendrickson, realistic option for the Packers.
I'm sorry. I really want to delve further into this instead, but I won't. Sure. I mean, now here's the problem. You know, Max Crosby's 27. I think he turns 28 either right before training camp or during the season, turns 28. Myles Garrett is 29, just turned 29 on December 29th. Trey Hendrickson is 30. Paul Daner from The Athletic, who covers the Bengals, did a good piece kind of weighing the pros and cons of paying Hendrickson for them. And according to him, in the last 10 years, there's been 44 players who generated, according to Pro Football Focus, 70 pressures or more in a season, which is what Hendrickson just did and has done like the last 3 years. Of those, you know how many of them were 30 years old, had celebrated their 30th birthday?
I would guess that number's one. Yeah.
One. Yeah. And it was Khalil Mack 2 years ago. So now that Hendrickson is 30, you know, is that take him out of play for Goody? Maybe. I mean, Goody did say that when it comes to trading a draft pick for an established player, he doesn't have any interest in a guy who's at the end of the line. But he pointed out that Reggie White was 31 when they traded for him back in 1993. So, you know, if he believes that a Hendrickson or a Myles Garrett can defeat Father Time for another 4 years. Yeah. I mean, I think he, you know, the problem is, you know, what does he think needs to happen at defensive line? Like, they fired the position coach. He made the comment that he thinks those guys are fine and that it was just a struggle for them to adjust to a new system. Of course, that's what you say publicly. So you don't say, yeah, we really shouldn't have paid Rashawn Gary, man. That was a mistake. And I don't know what happened to Kenny Clark. He's our, you know, Walter Payton Man of the Year, but he dropped off the planet. Like, he's not going to say that. And I don't necessarily think either of those things are true either. Like, he may really believe that with another year in the system, both those guys will bounce back and be the top level players that they're capable of being. But if behind closed doors, he's like, these guys aren't going to cut it, then I think he's probably pursuing other ideas and other options.
I'm curious what those are. But look, I'm preparing myself as a Packers fan for this in the offseason. Underwhelming, but addressing, right? So whether it's a depth receiver or a depth defensive end piece or addressing some needs in the draft, that's what I'm anticipating, the Packers way. I do not anticipate a run it back of Xavier McKinney / Josh Jacobs type signings. I, despite having more cap room than they've had in a long time, they're only 14th in the league. It's not like they have more money than anybody, but they have more money to play with than they have in a long time. I don't know if that will be in the form of a big time signing. And maybe it could be Adams, right? Like, that could be if he's released and a free agent, or if the Packers are to trade for him, that could be the splash play. But other than that, I'm not expecting anything huge this offseason from the Packers.
Well, let's be honest though. You nor I, unless I'm mischaracterizing your NFL knowledge, but in March of 2019, did you know who the hell Za'Darius Smith was?
No, I didn't.
He had had 8.5 sacks and started 8 games for the Bengals in 2018. Before that, he had 5.5, 1, 3.5, and then that 8.5 sack season in his 4 years in Baltimore. His first 2 years in Green Bay, 13.5 and 12.5 sacks, 26 sacks in 2 years. And then the guaranteed money ran out and he became a malingering injury question player. But my point is that he was a field tilting player those 2 years. And we didn't know who he was. So there could be a Za'Darius Smith type guy who was a mid round pick, 4 years in the league. They think his best football is ahead of him, and they snag him and they pay him good money, money where you're like, ooh, that's a lot for a guy I hadn't heard of. And then it turns out to be the right ad. So, you know, we all know the names of the big time names that may or may not be available by trade or free agency, but I'm sure there are guys lurking on their free agency board that they're thinking, all right, if we get this guy, we're going to be happy.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, a couple things left for you, Jason, on our penultimate Season 1 edition of Weekly Wildy. Anthony Campanelli, the linebackers coach for the Packers last season, who was it just seemed like a dog. And I know you obviously dealt with him more than I did, but just from the little clips I've seen, an ultimate motivator, obviously helped with the ascension of Edgerrin Cooper, leading to 2 Defensive Player of the Weeks in the NFC selections for him in the linebacker room. Seems like Quay Walker got better last year, despite not getting all the way to, you know, like all pro status, like some of us have hoped, but certainly an improvement under Campanelli last year. Campanelli goes to Jacksonville to take the defensive coordinator job. What do you make of that move? And seems like the Packers will fill that role from within.
Yeah, it's a loss. I do believe it's a loss. Sean Duggan has a lot of history with Jeff Hafley, was with him at Ohio State, was with him at Boston College. You know, that's a pretty seamless replacement, and I don't know how extensive Sean Duggan was in his help with Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker, but it takes a village. And, you know, Tosh was giving me a hard time for making it sound like, you know, losing Campanelli is a huge deal, but I'm not saying that they're going to forfeit the season, but he's a valuable coach. And when, you know, the job that he did, you know, obviously, Edgerrin Cooper is supremely talented and athletic, but this is a guy who had a tackle for loss in the opener and then also lined up in the wrong spot in the opener, and off went Saquon Barkley for a touchdown through the spot that he was supposed to be in. So for Campanelli and Duggan to get him to increase his playmaking while decreasing his mistake-making, that's coaching. That's what coaching is all about. So he did a great job with him. And so, look, Jeff Hafley loves Campanelli. He's basically been mentoring him for the last 15 years. They got to work together for one whole year, and now he's gone. But, you know, that it is a loss. It does not mean that suddenly now Quay Walker is going to regress or Edgerrin Cooper is going to regress, but his coaching matters. And that's all I really want to convey there.
Yeah, coaching matters, believe it or not, in the National Football League. But good opportunity for him. Can't blame him for taking it. We will just see how the Packers are able to continue to hopefully elevate Edgerrin Cooper's play and Quay Walker's play going forward, as both of those guys probably, well, especially Cooper, playing bigger roles in 2025 for this Packers defense, which with a couple of linebackers going out the door. It is Super Bowl week. Chiefs and Eagles, Super Bowl 59 coming up Sunday on Fox. Your boy Tom Brady on the call. Who do you like? Who are you rooting for anybody? How does Jason Wilde take in the Super Bowl? Bring me into Sunday.
Yeah, don't care. I'll watch because it's my job. It's the Super Bowl. Sydney wants to see if Kendrick Lamar brings out Taylor Swift
for Bad Blood. Yeah,
for Bad Blood. Yeah, see, you and Sid both on top of that.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, you know, I'm not, certainly not rooting for the Chiefs. I'm a grudge holder, and Patrick Mahomes getting after my guy Mike Carr, the down judge on the Kadarius Toney offsides call.
I don't mean to play therapist here, but you've brought that up several times this season. This obviously happened last year. And Mike Carr, he's a Verona guy, right? He's a Madison area guy?
Columbus.
So I understand that. But don't you view that as competitive nature, the spirit of competition? Yes, he was rude. I'm not excusing his behavior. But can't we let it go and acknowledge this guy's one of the all-time greats and has the opportunity to do something nobody's done in the Super Bowl era?
No. And again, it's great. You know, he's a great player. There's no doubt about it. That's not why I'm rooting against them. I'm rooting against them because I have Chiefs fatigue like everybody else.
And that's fair.
Like, I also didn't root for, you know, the Patriots. Now, I'm not rooting like passionately. Like, if they win, I'll shrug and turn off the TV and then go do something else. Like, that's how I'm wired. But if you're asking me who would I rather see win, I would rather see Zach Bond get a Super Bowl ring. Nothing against Leo Chanel and the Chiefs per se, but, you know, I'm also kind of rubbed wrong by, and I don't work for the Packers. That's not my job. But, you know, this idea that this is unprecedented, yes, it's in the Super Bowl era. And we don't even have to count that 29, 30, 31, three titles in a row that the Packers have. But the Lombardi era of winning three straight titles, including two Super Bowls in Super Bowl I and II, the short shrift that that has gotten, I just don't think that's right. Like, yes, if we very clearly state, okay, it's the first time that anyone will have won three consecutive Super Bowls. Correct. Sure, it's true. But to make it sound like this has never been done before, it has and it hasn't. So again, Philly winning, you know, they seem to have very nice fans. So, you know, I'd obviously be happy for them. They seem like very nice people.
Yeah, haven't won one since Nick Foles. This would be their second since the last time the Packers won one, which just makes me a little bit irritated. But that's beside the point. That's neither here nor there. Hopefully next year's the year in San Francisco, Santa Clara, for the Green Bay Packers. All right, we will do one more next week. We might pop up sporadically through the offseason, and then we'll get back at it around the preseason here on Weekly Wildy. Jason Wildy on social at Jason J. Wildy. You can find me at Alex_Strofe on Twitter, at Strofe ESPN on the rest of them. Jason, good stuff as always. Enjoy the Super Bowl. I hope you're not shrugging and going to do something else and rather, thinking about maybe climbing street poles on Lombardi. Or maybe Oneida Street following the Eagles Super Bowl win on Sunday.
Yeah, I'll be shrugging no matter what. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Thanks, Jason.
All right, buddy. Take care. Be good.